Now, I would like to not stumble over the cords here.
Not that you've ever done anything.
No, not ever. Thank you. Thanks, of course, to Jimmy and Joan, who do such a great job of organizing this every year. And it looks effortless from outside, but I think it probably isn't. I wanted to start with a few poems from my book, Breathing the West, Great Basin Poems. I grew up in the Wasatch Mountains of south central Utah, and in this little cabin that you can see here, I had no running water, no electric lights, a little bit above timber, but that's not the part I'm writing about in this poem. This is called When I Was Seven, and the title goes right into the first sentence. When I was seven, the war in Europe moved in on the domed wooden radio with its Gothic front, where Let's Pretend arrived every Saturday, brought to us by Uncle Bill and Cream of Wheat. Nathalie and I conspired to send a bomb to Hitler, hidden in a bouquet of wildflowers, or better, in a jar of mayonnaise. Either bomb or mayo would kill him. I built cities out of dominoes where Hitler lived and bombed them flat with other dominoes. But he hid under the couch, and I fled onto it so he couldn't grab me by the ankles. Let's see here. And I'm starting off with some more poems here. This is August 6th, 1945. A week after Pearl Harbor, my father wrote in his journal that as he did the breakfast dishes, he got to thinking about the war to such an extent that I wept. He was exempt, his work considered crucial to the home front, but he hated the effluvium of propaganda, collapse of sympathy for difference, diversion of resources. When the war ended, I was eight. We drove to my grandfather's church, I on my knees looking out the back car window, seeing black tar patches bloom in the pavement like explosions. They had dropped A-bombs on people like me, my newborn sister. This poem is called Tectonics, and it's about the way the plates that make up the surface of the earth shift and move. It's happening right now in Nepal pretty badly. Tectonics. A geologist told me we're headed for extinction. I grieve for my grandchildren's children's children, Pergolesi, George Eliot, soft organisms with brief lives. The tiny trilobite I held, black jewel in my palm, perfect spine, antennae, 300 million years old, found in mountains once under seas, while continents broke apart, collided. Native Americans called them little water bugs in big rocks. My father wrote of the unstable molten sea our solid earth is floating on, a giant under everything, turning in sleep, hip up, shoulder over, knocking up mountains, making waves. On the Wasatch Plateau, above timber, the fish that once swam in Lake Bonneville still brush against my face. Actually, that's kind of fits the news, doesn't it? this one's called Alpine Cabin, and this is the Alpine Cabin. It's pretty primitive and a wonderful place to do part of my growing up. Alpine Cabin. Each late June, the road then almost clear of snowdrifts, we arrived, mother's head aching from altitude. But she'd spread out the tablecloth, hang the blue plaid ruffles she'd made across each window, send us out for wildflowers, homemaking bouquet, while Daddy started the fire with aspen kindling, adding coal from the dented scuttle. Some mornings at first light, I'd wake to see an elk lofting his rack of antlers, nosing the air for danger. I'd watch as long as my bladder held, then dash the city block across the buttercup-bordered stream to the outhouse. Sometimes the elk stood still, watching this wild thing, bareheaded, scramble on two legs. Sometimes he'd startle, bound away. The cabin was square, log and block, built for snow surveyors, icy water in the sink. The stream outside cooled milk, fresh melons brought up from Ephraim once a week with books from the library. I went back 20 years ago, remembrance bubbling like the spring that fed the stream. My mother's flowered tablecloth, faded blue ruffles gray, drooping along the tops of windows. Hanging on the wall, the galvanized tub where we girls bathed in water heated on the coal stove, taking turns. Always coffee in the black enamel pot, perfume of bread rising or fresh baked. Just off the kitchen, a pantry, space for cans of Spam, Borden's canned milk, quart jars of last summer's tomatoes, peaches, apricots. Battered table where Daddy worked on his subalpine vegetation of the Wasatch Plateau. Six cots in the only other room, each flanked by an orange crate holding crayons for the good sides of used paper, scissors, tape. On clear nights, we had a bonfire, sparks jostling stars. Daddy played his guitar and Mother taught us songs. Nights inside, by kerosene lamplight, I made into paper dolls all the characters in books, Glinda the Good Witch, Alice, Red Queen, Rapunzel. As the kitchen fire burned down, we were quick into cold cocoons of canvas kapok, army surplus, khaki wool. I want to read a newer poem now. It's always nice to hear. This poem I'm reading is a tribute to Nepal, where my husband and I and our son, and then later the daughter who was born there, lived for 2 years. And the daughter who was born there has gone back many times. She's fluent in Nepali. She's adopted a Nepali child. And of course, we're pretty horrified and heartbroken by what's happening in Nepal now. This is a poem after Sarah Browning, and it's called Delhi to Kathmandu. Flying that last leg in, Delhi to Kathmandu, on a DC-3, no safe water to mix with powdered milk for Andy, a year old, so he cried himself to sleep as we circled over the emerald as Oz city. Hindu temples, Buddhist stupas, skinny men carrying twice their size loads tethered to forehead trump lines, a woman sitting out in the sun, limp sari, recovering from childbirth, a baby that could fit in her hand at her breast. Kids playing in the street, buffalo wandering. We were white in a green USAID Jeep. Nepalis were various browns, some looking Indian, some Tibetan. Andy's blue eyes were enormous at passing elephants and flower-painted public transport trucks driven by turbaned Sikhs. The main means of transport, though, was feet, and I walked up to my husband's office, pregnant, and women smiled, touched my swelling belly, and one was surprised in English, "Memsab having baby in tummy, like Nepali?" It was Marie Kamala, born in cool January in an old Rana palace, who breathed the life of this city, speaks Nepali, climbed the Himalayas, adopted a Nepali son. Well, that is about two of my children. This is about the third, watching Wit. As you know, Wit is a British play that I think it's been televised. Watching Wit, a stage play. British actors tell the story of a professor who teaches the complex wit of metaphysical poetry. She's diagnosed with terminal ovarian cancer. The doctors don't know how to cure or care, but from the planet of the latest theory. One young doc was once her student. His medical role is to pry open her privacy with his speculum. I found myself in tears, then sobbing from deep side hovered over, remembering in every atom how my daughter, violinist of the intricate Baroque, declined, then finally died, from the cancer no doctor could outwit. How one humiliation follows another, her body the canvas on which physicians limn their curiosity. Finally, exhausted by pain and mortality, she starts to slip away. An elderly colleague comes, curls up on the bed with her, softly reads The Runaway Bunny, a children's story both professors would have scorned professionally. The kindly nurse holds off resuscitation brigades so that at last the dying woman can die. And I want to end with this very recent poem. My favorite part of the New York Times is Tuesday when there's a science section. I just love that part of the New York Times. So I found a story about the Black Pole Warbler not long ago and wrote this poem. It's called Black Pole Warbler. Not much bigger than a hummingbird, weighs as much as a AA battery. Scientists fit a tiny geolocator to its leg, track its migration over 1,700 miles in 3 days and nights. Small wonders seem somehow holier than all the miracles religion preaches. It first feasts on insects, doubling its weight, then flies nonstop from New England to South America. And I don't know how long I've been reading. Do I have time for one more or not? Okay. Oh, no, I finished them. That one's Deli to Kathmandu. Okay, thank you.
And the next poet is Christine Pasinski.